Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about redemption today. I think most of us know about redeeming things maybe from pawn shops. I never did that, but some of us may have. We know how we have to pay a price to get things back if we put them in pawn shops, right? But we want to talk about the great redemption that Jesus Christ did for us. It took a great price, far better than any price we could ever pay for. We could try all day and we wouldn't be saved. You know that? The most important thing to remember always about Christ and the way that he died was he died for us. He died to pay the price for us that we could not pay. There's a little song that goes that way. He paid the price I could not pay. We could not pay it. And so Jesus, and of course God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before the foundation of the earth, they had a mighty council. One of our songs says that. And in that council, it was decided what would take place, that Jesus the Son would come down, be born of a Virgin Mary there in that stable, and live his life as unto God, and wonderful example and all of that. But the main thing about it all was that he was going to provide salvation for all of the world, all of the people of the earth. Did you know that his payment that he made there on that cross is not just for the church age that we live in? It goes clear back to the very beginning, Adam and Eve, the first sinners. All clear back through. This blood of Lord Jesus Christ is adequate to pay for all the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? Yes, glory to God. He died for us. How precious. Oh, we do love him so much for his giving up his throne, his place there with the Father in heaven, and coming down to this earth. In our ladies' meeting this past week, we had a Bible lesson on Abraham taking his son in obedience to God's command to him to take your son, your only son Isaac, and take him unto the mountain that I will show thee of, and there you are to offer him as an offering. Not just any kind of offering, a burnt offering. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the burnt offering was an offering that it was totally consumed by the fire? Totally consumed. And you don't see Abraham saying, well, God, that's awfully hard. I mean, how can I do that? He was just so obedient and just came along and went on the trip. And it was the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And there, as he obeyed God, he had his men stay behind with the animals, and he and his boy went further. And it's interesting that they went to Mount Moriah, because that's where, very near there, is where Jesus Christ was crucified, on that one portion of that mount. And so he was obedient to God, and he came into this place of seeing his son absolutely protected by God, but yet it was as if his son was going to give his life. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came and died for us willingly, not because anybody made him, but because it was agreed before the foundation of the world that the Lord Jesus would come and die for our sins so that we could be in heaven one day. Isn't that a precious thing? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I had some scriptures that I just want to quote to you. Ephesians 1:4 says, he hath chosen this way before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created, before Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the plan was made that mankind would be on this earth and that the Lord Jesus Christ would come down and he would be crucified, and he would bring about salvation for a group of people that would believe upon him, that would become his chosen people, his people that loved him. In Hebrews 4:3, it says, the works were finished before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, a plan was made. All the work, it was as if it had been done, because it was going to be carried out in full as Jesus came. In 1 Peter, we read, Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last days for you. The church age we live in is considered the last days. It's the sixth of the dispensations of God, where God has dealt with mankind in different ways all down through the centuries and the years. And so the church age, or the grace age, we call it, is the last call, we might say, for salvation for this world. And then when this time is up, there'll be 7 years of great tribulation, and then the millennial, where Christ reigns. And his people, all the people who have believed in him and have received Christ as their Savior, will be there in heaven with him in different capacities, different rewards. But praise the Lord Jesus has done this for us that we might be saved. So we're going to talk about redemption. And let's look in Romans, the 3rd chapter. Redemption. Like I said at the beginning, we realize how to redeem something that has been put in the pawn shop, or some thoughts that we might have that might be, we can say we redeemed those things. But in this place, we're going to begin reading with verse 20 of the 3rd chapter of Romans. And he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, the word justified, we used to like to say it when we were teenagers trying to learn the word of God, was just as if I'd never sinned. When Jesus Christ saves us, when he gives us eternal salvation, which he said in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. It's the gift of God, he said. Praise the Lord. And so here we see this word justified. This means that we have been made righteous in God. Righteous in God. In his sight, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when he looks at that, he sees not my sin. He does not see your sin. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ making redemption for us. Redemption, the payment. Redemption, redeeming some item we put in the pawn shop, I wrote down. Or in the Greek word, it means to ransom in full. Ransom in full. In other words, it is not a partial job that he does something and then we've got to be extremely good or he's not going to give it to us or he's not going to keep us in his care. This is what the Lord Jesus performed on the cross. He paid the ransom in full that we might be born again. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Read on down now. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. So positively, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are given a righteous standing in God. We say righteous robes. We have the robe of righteousness given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus. Verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says, being justified, again, being made righteous in God freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. This word has a meaning, and we'll get into it more, but it speaks of the mercy seat. Remember, the mercy seat in the inner sanctum, the inner court of the tabernacle and also of the temple, where the priest went once a year and he sprinkled blood upon that mercy seat, and that set forth the sin of the world. It just kind of rolled it forward of the Israelites until the next year when they had to do it again to make the people there in Israel safe from God's wrath. And so this is what the word propitiation means. Now, let's go back and look at these different words. The word redemption, what does redemption mean? It means to deliver by paying a price. There was a price that had to be paid. We were sinners. The whole world was full of sin. And there was no way, and still is, we might say. The world is full of sin today. There's so much stuff going on. In the United States, it's just shocking sometimes. This person went and killed this many, and this person went and killed that many. It's shocking to us to hear these things. But sin is becoming rampant in this world. And so Jesus died for us that he might deliver us by paying a price. He paid the price, his own blood shed upon that cross. He could have come down off that cross, but he didn't, because he loved us. He looked forward to the time when he would have people of that believed in him come and be with him in heaven one of those days. Praise the Lord. He paid the price. The price was paid body, soul, and spirit. He has saved us body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit is saved when we're born again. Our soul is saved with the salvation that the Lord provided, but it's a change that takes place in our soulish nature all the time. And then our bodies. Our bodies are the instrument of the Lord, the scripture says, and that we are to allow the Lord to be in control of us, control of our bodies, what we say, what we hear, what we do in life. All of that is to be according to his word and what he has reckoned for us. I want to talk to you about this word, redemption. There are three different words in the Greek that represent redemption. The first one is agorazo, and it means to purchase in the market, meaning a slave market. That's what it means, to purchase in the slave market. Of course, in the time of Christ and many times since, people have had slaves that they bought. They go and look at a specimen of humanity, a lot of times without any clothes on, which was horrible, and they bid on that person to become their slave. And we were certainly slaves of sin before we, slaves of the devil, in fact, before we came to know Jesus and realize that he had purchased us with his own blood upon the cross. And so that word agorazo means to purchase in the market, meaning a slave market. In Romans 7:14, we're not going to turn there, but it says there that we were sold under sin, under sentence of death. We were sold into sin. We were the slaves of the devil before we came to know Jesus. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. How faithful and precious that the Lord would go to the cross without any complaint and just go there and be there for us. Here's another word that means the same as redemption, and this is exagorago in the Greek, and it means to buy out of the market, but it has a deeper meaning. Does anybody know what the deeper meaning is? To buy out of the market, never to be exposed to sale again. When they went to the market to buy a slave, and this slave was just ideal. I mean, there was everything good to be said about this person. They had a good record. then the owner could just say, you are mine always. I'm never going to sell you back. I'm never going to do that to you. Now, we aren't good enough to be this. I think all of us realize that in our own self, before we knew Jesus, we didn't deserve to be kept by his power or anything else. But when the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and bought us out of that market, he said, it is finished. That meant the work of redemption was totally complete. Everything was done in order to save people from their sins. Everything was finished. And in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive this exagorago. This beautiful price has been paid. We will never be exposed to sale again. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then there's another meaning. The word redemption also can be translated lutro, L-U-T-R-O-O. And it means to loose, to set free by paying a price. So it's not enough that we're bought in a slave market, and then, as some people think, we're slaves then to God all the time. We have to be really careful and do what he says, or he's going to sell us back or something like that. Because this word means that he has set us free by paying the price. And that price was himself, his death. And he's never going to send us away. We have eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Romans 8:21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look here in our text and a little bit more here. We had this word propitiation, and I was explaining that to you. As it means mercy seat, it means appeasement also and atonement. So Jesus Christ has become the one that covered our sins with his blood and cleansed us from our sins as we accept him and are born again. Notice it says, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. The word remission can be translated forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins, he has come forth to be our covering, our mercy seat. And faith in his blood then declares his righteousness for our forgiveness of sins that are past. We have past sins, all of us do, whether we want to admit it or not. We are all found to be sinners before the Lord. And notice, remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. What does that mean? The word forbearance means tolerance and self-restraint. We're born again in a wonderful, wonderful way. He does not see us anymore as sinners. He sees us as his children. When he looks, I've quoted this to you before, but it's a song and it just always sticks in my mind. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be. He sees Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We have Jesus in us. Jesus Christ came into our life and made us righteous in God's sight. In verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. And that word justifier again means to render innocent. In other words, you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are innocent in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remission. Forgiveness. Forgiveness from all of our sins. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures now and just phrases out of this scripture. In Psalm 103:12, it says that our sins he has removed from us, our transgressions, our rebellion. He has removed it as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that a beautiful thought? He has delivered us from our sin. And then the second one, in Isaiah 38, 17, he says, "Thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back." See, he forgave us. And so our sin is clear there behind us, our back, as far as the east is from the west. And then in Isaiah 43, 25, he says, "I will not remember thy sins anymore. I will not remember thy sins anymore." You know, the devil will bring up things we did, right? Unfaithfulness, different kinds of things that we have in our past. But the Lord forgives us for all of that. And he's not the one that reminds us. In Jeremiah 31, 34, he says, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Is God's word true? It absolutely is true. So he's not going to remember our sins anymore. And of course, Romans 8, 1, "There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." So our redemption that we have is threefold. When we first are saved, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, and that is our spirit is redeemed. Our spirit belongs to God, and that's where Christ dwells. It's in our spirit inside of us. And, of course, we are redeemed threefold, body, soul, and spirit. All of that we are redeemed from. So, all of it is based on our new birth. By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. That means to set free at the slave market, to be set free. We're made a new creation in Christ. Then we not only have spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to just mention this again. The spirit is the part of man which knows. The part of man which knows. It's kind of hard to understand all of that, but one of these days, we're really going to understand it fully. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And so in our minds, in our spirit, we're God conscious. Even when we do bad things, we're God conscious because we have Christ in us. And that spirit reminds us. And then there is the soul. The soul of man is where the desires and affections and emotions and self-consciousness resides. It's the soul. We have three parts. Our body is world consciousness. We hear, we see, we taste. But because of redemption, we can have deliverance, body, soul, and spirit. Praise the Lord. Let's turn 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, we want to read two verses, and we're very near closing here, so we have time for our communion. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. This is Paul speaking. He's giving this exhortation and prayer for these people of Thessalonica. And he says in verse 23, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now, first of all, sanctification means to be set apart unto God. This is special. We say that we sanctified something, and we don't use that word, but it would be that we would set it over here because it's very, very wonderful. We want to keep it. That's what the word sanctification means, is that God has set us apart. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are now class as the children of the living God. So he has done this completely. The word holy, actually translated from the Greek, is completely. He has sanctified us completely, set us apart unto God completely. And I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is dealing with us in our spirit, soul, and body. And sometimes things don't go quite right, and we maybe have a failure, but He's still dealing with us. He is working with us. He's drawing us and preserving us. And how long is that preserving happening? It says he wants to preserve us blameless, and that'll be at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is going to come one of these days. We believe it with all our hearts. And things are getting worse in this world, not better. And I really believe that those are signs to us that Jesus Christ is coming very, very soon. Praise the Lord. So he is going to come and take us away one of these days. And we'll have a new body, redemption. Notice what it says in verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's not up to us. We couldn't do it anyway, you know that? We couldn't have a new body. We'd like to someday, sometime, say, I'd like a new body now, just order it. No, it doesn't work that way. The Lord Jesus Christ is working in our life to perfect our faith and to teach us to walk with him. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:7 says this about Jesus. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Praise the Lord. We have this because it's all through Jesus Christ and the redemption that he has provided for us and the forgiveness that he has given us. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. We are born again. We have redemption. We have forgiveness of all of our sins. Hallelujah. And we learn to walk with God. Praise the Lord.